This is the third episode in KBOO's 10-part series on the business of sex in Portland. Today we talk about history and culture and hear more of what Portlanders have to say on the subject. First, a little background.
Oregon was once the Wild West, and it still is in some respects. Is Portland a hotspot of activity for this industry? Does it have a reputation? A few years ago, the Washington Times reported that Portland's legal sex industry was the largest in the U.S. on a per capita basis. The city has a large number of strip clubs, a tolerant attitude toward sex, and a reputation as a progressive, youth-oriented place that attracts runaways. The situation seems unchanged since 2010. In general, Portland seems like a great place for the sex business. Here's Lily Campbell comparing Portland to Los Angeles.
I love shooting in Portland because people seem to genuinely have more of an openness about their sexuality and more of an excitement about celebrating that versus just the commodification of what they can do in a certain amount of time, you know? Like, I've shot in LA only one time, and it was a little disappointing because it was just more geared towards people who just kind of show up, you know, bang it out, don't really necessarily care about the content and making it, you know, super awesome.
The industry is changing fast. Would you be surprised to find Russian hookers in Portland? I haven't run into any, but it wouldn't surprise me. The trade is global, according to Dr. Catherine Hakim.
Well, the internet makes it the whole sex trade almost global in its scope, because it makes it possible for people who live in completely different countries to connect and agree to meet. It makes it possible for, much easier at least, for sexual tourism to be organized in the sense that men in Europe or America can do research on which are the best places to go in terms of which places have either lowest prices or the greatest variety of types and services and entertainments and so on. The internet also makes it much easier for people to decide to move from one country to another because of lower travel costs, and therefore to, for example, it's now much easier for women in South Latin America to target particular countries in Europe where their prices are highest.
Is there a gang connection with this industry? Here's Scott Kern of the Department of Justice.
One of the things that you see is that the gang members or the people that are involved in trafficking, if they're selling drugs, right, if you sell drugs, you've now turned those over in exchange for cash. Then you have to go re-up your supply. So you have to reach out to your source, buy drugs again, and then repeat the process.
And here's Officer Lindsay, an undercover Agent A, talking about how the Portland Police Bureau is trying to deal with the movement of the sex industry from the streets to the internet.
We've seen that the majority of our trafficking and prostitution activity is online. Most of the women are going online if they have access to the internet, and that's where they're soliciting. We had to learn about lots of different things we didn't know about previously. We had to learn about all the different websites, and then we had to try and find a way into them, which is not always easy. In some ways, it makes it easier because we can access a broader scope of the people being victimized than we could who are just walking up and down the street and we're only going to see the ones we see. So in some ways, it's better. In some ways, it's harder.
Can the police respond to an ad and set up a meeting and then arrest someone?
Yes.
Yes. Do you do that?
Yes, we do.
Now we get back to the voice of the people. We talked with a wide range of individuals from diverse backgrounds and employment situations. You'll hear how they see the sex industry in Portland and what they think are the biggest issues.
I also know that Portland has more strip clubs per capita than whatever. This is what I've heard.
I danced when I first moved here, and other places that I lived, I kind of kept it secret. You know, people would be like, oh, how come you have all these ones? You know, when I went to the supermarket, I'd be like, oh, I waitress. Whereas here, I could just freely be like, oh, yeah, I'm a stripper. So I think, you know, it's just always been more accepted here. Over the years, though, I feel like it's maybe more of a just institution of Portland, or I mean, I see lots of couples. You know, you go to a bar, you go to a strip club, same thing. I don't know.
For sure, entirely, 100% the industry has changed, because I do remember early 90s working in New York City just bartending in a strip club. And I couldn't tell my friends, because that was such an, I don't know, taboo thing to do. Mm-hmm. Underground, obscure. My little rock and roll friends, sure, but I couldn't really tell anybody else. But I also started to notice that every TV show has an episode where they go to the strip club. Every movie has a scene where they go to the strip club. Things have really changed in the past 20 years. Even Friends, they went to the strip club. And this was such a family-friendly, fun sort of thing, but it's far more accepted today.
Yeah, it's become, porn is crazy everywhere. And I imagine it disconnects people's real relationships. And so without having those, people are paying for sets more on the fly. Mm-hmm. And then when porn's not available, then they want that quick fix still. And they don't want to go through the whole week of getting to know somebody. And so then bordellos and whorehouses and strip clubs are making more money that way. That grows.
Pornography definitely has. I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, I'm 35 now. So, I mean, as a kid, you know, as a young youth trying to find a porno magazine, you know, that was trying to find a porno magazine, and now I can find I guess practically anything that my heart desires on the internet without even paying for it, right? So that's definitely something that changed.
I have friends who aren't part of like any legal sex industry. They're sex workers that, you know, do the whole like back page kind of selling of themselves kind of thing. And I think if there's one thing, we could do something more to help those people stay safe in what they're trying to do, you know, because I don't think that like making it, you know, they're not going to change anytime soon because they don't want to. So I think that we could help.
If you make it legal, you can regulate it, you know. If you legalized prostitution, then you can put checks and balances in place to make it safer, and to make it less dangerous for those that are forced to work in it. With all that said, that's a bold stance, so I don't know if that's right for Portland.
I know people, interestingly enough, when I was living in LA, I dated a nurse for a moment, and her job was to arrange people who did pornography based off of what STDs they had or what STDs they didn't have.
Oh, wow.
And that this is a specific job, you know, so they get people together, and she was one of the people that kept the records on these kinds of things. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of screened the actors that were going to be in a film to make sure everybody was compatible with everybody else. So I have dated somebody that's worked in loosely in the pornography industry, and I have known people who have been prostitutes. I've known people that I went to school with in middle school and high school, mm-hmm. who later developed habits and turned to prostitution as a way of supporting themselves. So I guess I've known, yes, I have known people who have done that kind of thing.
I feel like it's an art. It's also social work. It's not just about dancing and getting naked. I mean, to be a good stripper, you need to be engaging. You need to be able to sit and hold a conversation. And over that's the other thing, too. Over the years, it's gotten way more artistic. I remember when just taking off your clothes was, you know, that there alone was awesome. But now, I mean, the things girls do is just amazing. The pole tricks, there's one girl here that's on roller skates. It's really evolved into an art form.
I used to bartend at a strip club in New York City. There were the guys that would come in, it's fun, we're with our friends, and there were also the guys that you knew had no outlet in their life. And this was a thing for them. For whatever reason, they didn't feel that they could communicate with a woman. For whatever reason. They could come into the strip club and they knew that there was an attractive girl who would want to talk to them, and they knew it was in exchange for money, and they were okay with that. And I recognized at a very young age, because I was 21 when I did that, that this was a necessary thing for a lot of people that are not quite as fully functioning in the world. I also recognized at 21, this is not a healthy environment for somebody to learn about how to be a male or a woman in the world.
This gentleman and woman, I allowed them to sleep in my tent last night. And so the guy, he comes back to the tent this morning and slaps the girl on his hand. Like, hey, we got some money to make. Some other gentleman, whose number I now have in my pocket, wanted to go have fun, have a date or whatever. So that was crazy. I suppose that that was the type of relationship they had going on. So that was a witness.
We'll hear more from the people in future episodes when we talk about specific issues in the business of sex and how it goes in Portland.
A final note. We still want to take a stab at the question, how big is the industry here in Portland? We made a rough estimate that there are about 4,000 to 5,000 people working in the industry in our region, not all full-time, and a small number of them are illegal. We had service sector employment of 123,000 in September of 2017. So that's roughly, very roughly, one service worker in 25 in or closely connected to the business of sex. Maybe you might have a better figure. If so, please call us. And we'd like your feedback. At the end of this series, we'll do a full episode in which you get to speak your mind on this subject. If you have a comment or question about the series or about the sex trade, we'd like to hear it. Call the KBOO Newsroom at 503-231-8032, extension 202, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air.
Join us in the next episode of Sex for Sale when we focus on sex industry workers in Portland, who they are, and how they see the world.